I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
The Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Yes, sir.
A 14 HQ original.
Mm.
Lovers of film and TV. I don't know where how that became the slogan that I used, but it did, and I kind of like
good.
It.
It's good. I think it's even better when it's in, like, interviews or like red carpets and blah blah.
Oh, because we're selling ourselves out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
love film and TV.
Exactly. Whereas like they might think we're just some dons.
Some Jeremy Lynch's.
Yeah, something. You get me. That is influencer battle right there. Yeah.
Lovers of film and TV, we're back with another episode. It's been a while since we've been in the studio, to be fair.
Yes, sir.
How are you two doing?
Great, man.
Good.
Oh, good.
Good. I can't lie. I'm excited to record today.
Wow. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
It feels like it's been a long time.
The last time was Dune.
What?
Yeah, last time was Dune.
So it started a month. No way.
Yeah, it was Dune. It was me, you. It was us three and Jason. No, we did the Oscars. Yeah, we did.
Did the Oscars.
Yeah, but that was still like 3 weeks ago.
That was three weeks.
We did the Oscars.
Was that 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago?
3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks ago tomorrow.
Damn.
We did the Oscars.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, but this episode, by the time of recording, will be out tomorrow.
What do you mean by the time of recording?
That made no sense.
Yeah.
Is this episode out tomorrow?
This episode out tomorrow, guys. It'll be out on Monday.
Yeah, it'll be out on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, but if they listen to this, like, you know, that was completely pointless for all of us.
I know.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Sorry, guys.
How are you two doing?
Good, my guy.
Yeah, good stuff to hear. Glad to hear it. Here to talk some film and TV. What we've been watching over the last, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. There's been a lot coming out of film and TV.
Yeah.
Lots
to cover.
Of course, I'm gonna start.
Oh.
Somewhere with you because I feel like you would have watched it by now. I don't think Manny has yet.
Go on.
Dun 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 dun. How do you feel about the reboot of the theme tune?
That was a Wolverine.
Oh yeah. He's cold, man. How do you feel about the reboot of the theme tune first?
Gassed.
You like the reboot of the theme tune, yeah?
Do you know what it is? I didn't even clock it changed.
Okay.
Until the second episode.
Okay.
So that's good.
When did you get to watch the episode?
Huh?
When did you get to watch the episode?
Yesterday.
Okay.
I watched everything yesterday twice.
Check. How'd you find them? Wait, before you talk about how you found them, talk to me about your sort of adulation and how you grew up with this show and what it meant to you growing up, and then obviously now.
Mm.
Anticipation for the continuation, because it's not really a reboot, it's actually a continuation of the previous X-Men 97 series.
Oh yeah, yeah, to be honest, okay, I didn't watch X-Men until the films, right?
Oh.
And then I swear to God, and then I watched the old X-Men, yeah, because deeper, bro, like the first one was 2001, bro. I was like six.
When did animation come out?
It's so
95.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, 92 actually, 96, I think. Yeah, so like logically that would make sense, right?
Yeah, you know I mean, you watching the films first is not crazy. It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Like I watched the films.
The first X-Men.
And I'm pretty sure I watched the first two films and then that.
Okay, X2's quality.
Yeah.
X2's really,
it's
really
so sick. But yeah, so that's like.
With Nightcrawler, that scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The president.
Yeah. Awesome Nightcrawler, by the way. But yeah, no, just, and then obviously, like, I had the cartoon channel as well.
What was it on again?
Disney channel. It was on the Disney channel. And then they moved it, obviously, in the 2000s when Fox bought the rights to X-Men. But Disney was still the holders in the 90s. So it was on Disney channel and that kind of stuff. But anyways, it was good. It was probably my first introduction to superhero like cartoons that wasn't like Dragon Ball Z, and you know what I'm saying, and
so
like
anime, that right, kind
of,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was super nice, kind of, if you're seeing that, and it was my introduction into Marvel, so into the Marvel universe. Because I told you before, yeah. After the X-Men thing, I was watching DC religiously.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Religiously, bruv. Like like so many like Superman things and. What do you call it? Justice League, okay, Titans, blah blah.
That
was my bag,
right?
So that was my first like intro, and I think it was the most perfect thing ever to be introduced to that world, the also in the principles and kind of stuff of what the X-Men stand for. But at the time, at the end, I remember this year. I remember falling out of love for it.
Okay,
because it felt repetitive. It's like all they're doing is they're fighting for coexistence. And then at the end of every season...
The X-Men are.
Yes.
Not all mutants are, which is a key difference to state,
right? Yes, but then at the end of every season, or most seasons, sorry, it was always like, all right, the humans must have found an understanding. Here we go. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. And then something F's up. Wait a minute, the mutant just killed someone on TV. That can't be right. We must hate them again. Okay. And it just felt so repetitive. And I feel like, yeah, that was my only L at the time. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy it. Like, visually, it was beautiful. Wolverine was, like, tiny, which I like, but they stuck to, because obviously Hugh Jackman's fucking huge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, all these little things, dope. Cyclops, still bare annoying.
How do you feel? So how was your anticipation for the return of X-Men 97?
Do you know what's mad? I actually think it was for us. I don't think it was for new audiences. I think it was for us, man. And that even tells you by 3 episodes.
Okay.
Like, that's just them feeding us, bruv.
How many episodes are out right now?
Three.
Do you know how many episodes?
Three very good. I think there's 10 in a season.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's what I find interesting about the X-Men, and I think you, in this part you can actually sort of jump in as well, is the X-Men, if you compare them to the Avengers, right, X-Men are like found family, right?
Yeah.
And there's such a soap opera sort of drama within the X-Men. There's so many storylines that intertwine within the X-Men that makes them,
by the way, that's the best part,
which makes them so interesting to follow, because you've got Gambit, Magneto and Rogue, who have got this love triangle. You've got Scott, Wolverine and Jean Grey, their love triangle. You've got Magneto and Charles Xavier with their sort of brotherly love, but feud at the same time, and their differences in their philosophies. And I think that's what makes the X-Men actually such an interesting set of characters and a franchise to follow, is because it's more than just superheroes. And also, obviously, we know they're fighting for... What's the word I'm looking for? They're fighting for their right to live, right?
Correct.
On a foundational basis, at least. But then there's also the soap opera and the drama, which makes it like so much more interesting to follow, for me anyway.
But, and it's very classic, like, superhero, which is what I love. Like, sometimes it's just so cheesy. But because I was thinking this yesterday, I was like, because it's a cartoon, or sorry, it's animated, I think you get away with all of the cheese.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Certainly.
Because you can't see the actor or a real person doing it, and you go, that was dead, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just a voice. And then boom. So you get away with, like, Scott has so many, like, horrible lines where for same, he's like, there was a scene where something about, like, his child, and they wanted to do an experiment on the child and stuff, ever he was like, I just can't be here for this, or it was just bare dramatic, and I was like,
well, like Nathan,
you wouldn't say that, bro, in, like, real life.
In real life, yeah. Some things just don't translate as well in live action in comparison.
Facts.
To cartoons.
I think you can be so much more experimental, which you've probably spoken to us about before. You can be so much more experimental with anime.
Oh, yeah, do you remember what you told us about, like, the fight scenes in, like, all of those, like, animated stuff? You said that it's not just, like, simple... No, in, like, Naruto and blah, blah, blah. Okay, you said it's not just all that, like, the reason why I was sick was it's not just fight scenes, like, there's a story.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Here, it feels like that a little bit. Not probably not as much, but you can get so experimental with the fight scene, because you're not paying for CGI, you're not paying for this, you're not paying for that, right? So the part where they jumped off the plane, and the plane just, like, blew up and stuff, and you see no fragments of it. It's just like, all right, cool, but you can do that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You'll have to be a lot more creative when it comes to, like, animation and cartoons, because there's a lack of sense of suspense of disbelief. That's what I look for when it comes to animation. But yeah, even like when I saw a conversation somebody posted with the latest Invincible episode, saying, "Oh, we should get this character to play a certain character in a live action." It's like, no, bro. Like, so leave like, so especially superhero cartoons. Leave them to be cartoons. We don't need live action for everything.
Yeah,
it just doesn't translate this in the same way.
Yeah. And I think when the Marvel franchise started up and stuff, okay, or when they had their, I guess we can call them like their tester films, like Fantastic Four and okay, like back then, Hulk and stuff. Like, I think at the time that was my feeling. I was like, why are we translating this when it's so hard to put Hulk on a live action when in like an animated thing, he's so sick, he's so big, he's so crazy.
You can be so much more fantastical.
So much more fantastical. Exactly, bro. So like, that was very upsetting. And obviously you get to 2008.
Yeah,
to be fair, they picked, it's because Kevin Feige picked the right character. He picked a human that hasn't got powers, hasn't got anything, that is amazing in a structural sense, that is more sellable at the start. If you sell that, then the rest becomes a little bit more believable.
They started a lot more grounded and eventually like
exactly
these galactic warfare things.
Like exactly. Whereas I think maybe that was a problem with like Fantastic Four. And maybe it was too early to do the whole
Silver Surfer.
I kind of like Fantastic Four though.
Which one?
The first one.
Not the Silver Surfer one?
The seventh one. Yeah, Silver Surfer. I liked it.
Yeah. I like it more now after the new Fantastic Fours.
Fair, very good.
Because they're awful.
I don't think I watched the latest Fantastic Fours
with Michael B.
Michael B. Jordan.
It's deep that we said that, by the way, because he wasn't the worst part about that film.
But, yeah, I don't think I did. I watched the older ones. I actually found it decently. The one with Mr. Doom, Doom.
Yeah, Doctor Doom.
Decent film.
Doctor Doom. Yeah, I was thinking of MF Doom for some reason.
These
are films like I don't mind them at all.
Just a quick note, what I've enjoyed about the first X-Men, the first three episodes of X-Men 97, is that it's been very character focused. It's not necessarily focused on like these big bad villains per se, although we have seen one already, but it's mainly focused on like Storm, for example, and her character.
That's so beautiful, man.
And then obviously Jean Grey and her situation with Scott.
Tapped. Cyclops and by himself, the way, you can't even explore those themes, I think, in live action. I think that's too much. So to give you context, okay, because I'm assuming you're gonna watch it. Right?
Yeah.
Cool. Jean has like a clone, right?
Okay.
But I'm not gonna tell you the thing about it. But I don't think that translates well into live action.
Okay, cool.
I don't think a story, because it's so ridiculous, and like even the human aspect of it.
And because the pace of the series has been quite fast, it's like
so quick.
Episode to episode, it's just sharp. So it's quite, in a film, it's harder to translate that story. That has to be a very slower paced and well told story.
How about series? A live action?
It could work in a series. Oh, if it's live action, no, because again, you're watching a fantastic, there's elements of fantastical to the
animation. I absolutely agree with you.
So I don't think it would.
Agree with you.
We haven't even seen anything, we haven't seen much of Wolverine yet.
Bro, anything.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting.
He just got better.
Because it's even Magneto, in the second episode, he was amazing.
By the way, I think he's probably my favourite so far.
Okay. Yeah.
Cyclops.
That Cyclops landing scene was crazy. Man.
Cyclops landing scene was
I saw the clip.
That was fucking
crazy. I'm not going to lie, that was nuts. Cold. But him, when he talks, pisses me off. When he does everything else, wavy.
He's a very flawed character. He doesn't realise it.
Oh, yeah.
Super flawed.
Bro, he's a top line beg. Top line back.
By the way, question, do you think Wolverine would have clocked the clone? I think he would have, you know.
What?
I think he would have clocked.
I think he would have clocked. Maybe the smell or something.
Yeah, he would have clocked.
Yeah.
Can't believe I also, that on camera.
Also, I love Morph.
Yeah. His relationship with Morph.
I love Morph.
Yeah, Morph.
Him, Morph.
It's a perfect mix of character, right? Morph is very jovial, very silly.
Yeah.
Wolverine's very stern, very serious.
Yeah.
It works.
I love Morph, man.
Old man. People, if you haven't watched X-Men 97, give it a watch. Definitely. Manny. Yeah.
Yes.
You've been watching a lot of things. Talk to us. What do you want to talk about first? What have you watched?
What's
caught your eye? What would you recommend to people? What wouldn't you recommend to people?
So what I've watched, I think we talked about a few films at the beginning of the month, so I won't go back into that. But one film that I watched, that I haven't spoken about, that I would recommend is a Japanese film called Monster.
Oh yeah, I think you did a review for that as well.
Yeah, really, really good film. It's a film, so I didn't know anything about the film before I got into it, so I thought it was going to be something that it wasn't. But essentially about a mum and a kid that live together. The kid is perceived that he's being bullied. Mm-hmm. Looks like he's being bullied. And we see the perspective through the mother and what she sees that's happening with the kid. And then she gets told that it was his teacher that does it. And then we get all these scenes of her going to the school, marching up, demanding an apology, He apologized, but he's moving really weird. Like, the whole everything feels like very eerie, chilling, and weird. And then we get the perspective of the teacher, and then we get the perspective of the son. And throughout the whole film, it's I guess an exploration of misunderstanding how people can be very flawed and how we create monsters out of people, out of ordinary people, because we just don't understand them.
Right.
And it's a great exploration of humankind and how we connect and who we are as people and what mistakes can lead to. But yeah, it's a really touching film. It's really well acted, really well directed. I watched it in the cinema.
Cinema?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if it's still in the cinema at the moment. Because they don't really, these type of films don't really last that long there.
And it's like certain cinemas as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't find it in Cineworld. I had to go to Audion Greenwich to watch it. But yeah, it's a really good film, man. If it's still in cinema, I would definitely recommend it. I'm not sure if you would like it because it's very grounded. Like, I'm not, because you've spoken about you not.
That's like, crazy.
No, but we're talking about films. You don't like films that like essentially about everyday people. Like, but you have
The Holdovers, love The Holdovers. American Fiction, love American Fiction.
Okay,
yeah, I think Puss is changing, my boy.
I think what he said was, it's one thing I remember him saying is that he doesn't really like exploring like corporate aspects of like storytelling in films and TV shows.
Yeah, that too.
But, like, we talk about Succession, and he kind of like not turned his nose, just like, oh, I don't think that's gonna be for me. Obviously, when you get to know when you actually get to know the stories, there's so much more to it than just the
like Scandal. Can't do it. Like, even Power can't
Scandal's
do it.
Scandal's quite
grand.
Scandal's
good. I'm definitely gonna watch Scandal. Yeah.
No, but like you see all these things, okay? It's because like they're, I would rather watch a documentary about something that's actually happened in that world than watch a drama being told about something that's happened in that world.
But dramas can be a lot more experimental.
No, do you know what it is?
That's the fun part of drama.
Get it, and I think I just have to watch one. You know what I'm saying? I just have to be pushed into what.
What would you recommend for him to watch, guys?
Well, I'm surely it's Succession. I can't say it. Succession.
If I had to recommend one drama that he hasn't watched, it would definitely be Succession. I'd actually rather lean towards The Wire, but I think I could get you more.
I'd watch The Wire. Because that's more about like drugs and like whatever.
It's about niggas.
But yeah, that's calm. I can run that.
I'd say The Wire or Succession. They're just in my top five, so that's naturally why I would. Scandal's also great. Definitely recommend Scandal.
My sister was on me for years, man.
Yeah, naturally, woman put me on still.
I hear it.
So, Manny, Monster, yeah? Is that what you
use? Yeah, Monster's definitely recommend. And also, quickly want to touch on Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Horror film.
Yes, it's a horror film.
That's not you.
I'm so finished.
Manny
said that's a new me now, nigga.
Wait, hold on.
But
who'd you go with?
I went on my own.
Capolino.
What would I be capping?
Why would you go on your own to a horror film? You're a big man, yeah? Say nothing.
But it's not necessarily the film I want to talk about. It's more stuff the discourse around AI and the use of it. Because with Late Night with the Devil, there's quite a bit of use of AI. Quite a few people come out and complained about. That's probably why I didn't make a video on it, because I didn't have enough information to talk about the AI situation. I feel like I'd be doing a disservice if I make a video discussing the film, reviewing the film.
Do you think we're just in this age of like these all of most disaster films or most action plot based films are based on AI? Like,
it's not based on AI.
They used AI in the film, as in to like make the film. So, images in the film.
I thought that was part of the whole writers' agreement, right?
I don't think that film was part of the.
This wasn't, yeah, I think.
Oh, it wasn't part of SAG?
No.
Yeah, I may get this wrong, but I think this was funded by. Was it Arab Nation that funded the film?
It's an indie film, so.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Because that was a lot of the. Concerns about it, the concerns about it was the use of AI instead of using real people and actually giving people jobs of making films. I didn't necessarily notice the AI like that, but obviously I saw the discourse, and because I didn't have enough information about it, I felt like it was a disservice to do a review or talk about it without actually speaking about that specifically. But yeah, that's something that's come up, and that's probably something that we will touch on at some point soon.
For sure,
Of how the industry is changing, and obviously that was part of one of the agreements with the SAG. Yeah, so it's something that we can touch
on. How did you feel about the film?
I thought the film was cool, man. It was a decent film. It's a good film, actually. Let me not underplay it. It was a good film. There's a lot of tension and suspense that was building up. And I'm a sucker for I want to know what happened. Even though I kind of predicted what the reasoning of what was happening actually happened. Mm. They've done a good job on setting the foundation of... So, essentially about a late-night TV host that had his rating was dropping and he's trying to find... Like, he's constantly trying to find a way to improve his rating. And this film is set off one night and so many incidents happening. But a year prior, his wife suddenly died of cancer. And we... don't even want to spoil it too tough, but yeah, we're just exploring the night of him having different people come up and trying to disprove the element of magical elements like the devil or demons.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy there that just doesn't believe any of that stuff, or I can prove that you're lying. And then you have this person that says he can talk to the dead, and then you had this woman that says possessed by a demon, so on and so forth. It's actually a good film, but obviously the more important thing is the discussion around AI.
Interesting.
Cool.
Interesting. I will put that on the list.
You watched Immaculate as well?
Yes, I did watch Immaculate.
Have you seen Immaculate?
No, I haven't seen Immaculate.
Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, I'm going to watch Immaculate.
To be fair, yeah.
Oi, she is, can I just say, yeah, her past 6 months, her PR run's kind of mad, you know?
Oh, bro, I wish Missola was here because she hit the nail on the head in terms of...
her titties.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. When she said that, she signed the worst deal in Hollywood. Why was she doing a press run? And one of the interviews that she was doing was... By the way, Immaculate is a horror film. There's no sex in the film whatsoever. Why was she doing an interview doing Fuck, Marry and Kill with horror characters like Chucky?
That's
and
crazy.
Megan?
Crazy.
But
she's running the agenda, though. She's like Hollywood's like sweetheart right now. You know what I'm saying? And she's got, like, assets, bro. You know what I mean? Like, deeper, yeah, okay. Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no need for her to wear that outfit. That was, bro.
I keep seeing the cleavage in every interview she does.
Bro. But look. Wear what you want. Look fantastic. Creme de la creme, right? But the problem is, yeah, when you're on that, like, when Hollywood has picked you, right, and it's like, all right, cool, you might be next. Okay, and they're putting you in certain positions, pause, and that kind of stuff. Okay, like it's how you're perceived, like moving forward. This is what I always talk about, the run that Jennifer Lawrence had between Hunger Games and like Passenger, and when she done like Mother, you know what I'm saying? And X-Men. Her PR run in that time, she decided, look, I'll be a hot babe on the red carpet. But get me in an interview, it's banter. Like, it's banter, it's this, da, da, da. She was very personable, it was an elite run. And I think that's a good Hollywood run. Whereas, like, this one, the peak thing is, there's no personality. Like, I've watched Belfast stuff here, it's minimalistic.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
In interviews, not her acting. Her acting's fine. Yeah. Just, like, in interviews, she's minimalistic, so it just makes me feel like she's relying on other...
I think... Immaculate was probably her best acting performance in the film that I've seen so far.
Interesting. How scary is it though?
It's got its moments.
Yeah. Like 18 plus.
I'd say it's less scary. It's got its jump scare moments, but it's more like gruesome, not scary.
Who'd you see it with, you slug?
On my own, bro. It's more gruesome than it is.
I will never watch a horror by myself in my life.
It's not that scary, so you're fine.
Bruv, I won't even watch The Purge.
It's probably her best acting performance, and I'd say the back end of the film is the strongest part of the film. That's when it really gets into this like gruesome, bloody, some sort of tone and look.
Do you guys think that like once like a horror goes mad gruesome, mad this, mad that, do you think it becomes less believable?
No, because I've bought into the world. You're selling me this world of horror. I've bought into it. It's the same like I would with an action film, which I'll talk about later. I know I'm going into a John Wick 4. I know I'm getting this.
You're
stupid. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The action is cold, and that's what I'm here for.
Yeah,
the horror. If the horror's good, and you're selling me this sort of gruesome, bloody, some tone, if it's good, I'm here.
Yeah,
so I'm say here that, for. That, so I've that, bought into that. It. I try to go into films knowing like, I give it like a 10% bligh of like, oh no, this is not. This
oh, same.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Same.
Yeah, that's my mindset when I go into film or TV shows. So that's But Immaculate's good. It's not amazing. Yeah. It's a good film. Definitely say like. Maybe wait till it comes out and when you're home or something. But
Do you remember like the Insidious Conjuring run, right? And there's a new Insidious, by the way.
Yeah,
it's coming out. It's crazy. But like, I think it was The Conjuring or Insidious. Somebody correct me in the comments because we've got Bear fans now, right? But one of the films, okay, like it was so scary the first like two. I was like, oh my days. Even the third one, they went into this like supernatural world, right? And I was like, oh, it immediately became less scary. Because I was like, oh, it's just,
less believable.
It's just a sci-fi.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Even though it's not,
yeah.
But, you know, it was just the way it was shot, the way it looked, just felt like, it felt like when Wanda was chasing Doctor Strange and Deadman.
Oh, in Multiverse of Madness.
Correct. Right, yeah, it right, felt like right. That. In that scene in particular, made it less scary immediately.
Do you know what my favorite horror one was when they had like Paranormal Activity, Fourth Kind?
That shit was so scary.
Above and Under, Above and Beyond, or something like that, I can't remember. But those films
Sixth
were.
Sense.
Sixth Sense wasn't. I know what you're talking about, but Sixth Sense is not the one that you're talking about. Sixth Sense is the one with Bruce.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
That was cold.
Oh, that was definitely not part of that run. But it was a run of like films that were like used like cheap camcorders to make it seem like this is actually happening in your life, or documentary style type of horrors.
Yeah,
those were my favorite run of horrors.
I hear it, but I hate horrors with no storyline. Okay,
yeah,
because it just becomes like you said, like this jump scare or gruesome thing. It's just two simple categories. Whereas like what do you call it? Like I think when we got the thriller horrors, Get Out, Saw. You know what I'm saying? These ones were built so there's more storyline, but then you can't rate it 18, you've got to rate it like a 15,
yeah,
because it's still scary, but it's not it's not gonna, you know, blow your mind. Do you know what I'm saying? I fell in love with those films a lot more than what I did with like traditional horrors.
Yeah.
And when I watch old horrors, okay, by the way, I think they're awful, man. Like, you know, like the Freddy Krueger guy, what's that thing called again?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, do you know
that's
what?
The first,
do you know
Nightmare on Elm Street is the first film like I actually got scared of
at the time.
Yeah,
I was like, this shit is so scary.
Yeah,
watch it now, I'm like, it's childish, man. It's so childish. And then the film that scared the hell out of me till this day is Creep. Have you guys ever seen Creep? There's a sequel. It's crap. But the first one is set in London Underground, and this girl, she's come back from a night out, and she just falls asleep. Right, yeah, and she falls asleep. When she wakes up, yeah, the station's closed. Bro, it's a tube. Yeah, the station's lock off. So she's like, "What the hell's going on?" Da, da, da. And then, bro, there's this Don that's just been living in the underground since like World War II.
Okay,
but he's just turned into this. He's disgusting. He looks like a tall Smeagol.
Creep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. And then he's just terrorizing people. He's like, he's capturing them, taking them to his little torture room, rats are eating them. Like, it's nuts, bro. But like, he's just like chasing her throughout like the tubes and stuff.
Never heard of it.
But I was like 13, shook. Mm. Shook. I mean, it made me scared of the underground.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I was like, well, you know, it's a bit late, though.
But yeah. I hear that. Hey, listen, I've been watching, well, it's a month ago, I think.
Yeah, go on.
But I was locked in my house. Don't ask. And I started watching this.
Who gave it to you?
Gave it to me.
The code? For you to be locked in your house?
You're just dumb.
It's either that or who gave you the heartbreak?
Because I ain't been heartbroken for a couple of years, man. Thank God.
Oh, that was a good time.
What? Savage.
God is good, man. I'm all right now. I've been watching, I watched an Irish series called Kin. So it's produced by RTE, which is like the equivalent to the BBC here for the Irish. And it's a fucking really good series. If you like crime dramas, I know you do, Manny. If you like crime dramas, like crime thrillers, that explores like the crime underworld, this series is so good. But it also blends like the politics of the family and the sort of politics within the family. Sorry, it blends the politics of the family with like the crime underworld. So it's not just a crime series. There's also a lot of infighting within the family. So it follows a family called the Kinsella family. They're in the sort of crime world. There's a tragedy within their family, which was caused by their sort of opposition, if you like, within Ireland, in Dublin. And the series then sort of follows the journey of them sort of getting their revenge. And it's a very, very good series, man. It sort of really captured my attention. Aidan Gillen in Game of Thrones is in the series.
Oh.
Also in Peaky Blinders, also in The Wire. Yes.
He knows how to pick a project.
Yeah. He does. He does. He does. It's got Charlie Cox as well. Daredevil. So the series is really, really good, man. It's got MHJ Scanlon and Sam Keeley, some very, very good actors. The acting's good. The series really delves into like the crime underworld. It's very fun, very engaging. Definitely would recommend. It's got two seasons. The second season is even better than the first because it has an even deeper focus on the politics within the family and the conflicts. Charlie Cox shines in the second episode, and I really enjoyed the sort of nuance to his character. He's one of the, I wouldn't say foot soldiers, but he's, yeah, I'd say he's a foot soldier. But he's all,
British, right?
Yeah, but he, yeah, he must be because Cox is a British surname.
No, I'm pretty sure he's Irish. English.
He's English.
I saw a video of him.
Yeah, he's definitely English.
His voice is proper English.
But his character's very nuanced. There's more to him than just being involved in the sort of crime world. He's got a daughter. He's got a relationship with his daughter. But it's also a strained relationship. So you can see, like, the infight within himself of trying to be there for his daughter. But also, and the story with his daughter is a bit tapped. Something happened with his mother. It's dark. Very, very engaging. Highly recommend Kin. Two seasons, BBC iPlayer. Yeah, very, very good series. I binged it in 2 days.
Nice.
I was locked up, so, you know.
Nice.
But eight episodes each season. Shout out to the Irish, because they make some very good shows, man.
Yeah.
They make some very, very, very good shows.
They tell crazy stories.
And they're very good actors, man. They've got a...
Bro, they're lit actors.
Man. Yeah, man. Very, very... And I just like the Irish. I like Irish people.
Yeah, same.
I do, man. I've got a lot of time for them. Manny.
Yes.
Anything else you've been watching?
I watched Avatar The Last Airbender for the first time.
What do you think?
It's really good. Like, I'm actually spun how good that series actually is. And I get why it's so loved. I feel like the themes on it are absolutely amazing.
It got like mixed reviews, you know?
I'm talking about the cartoon.
Live action got mixed reviews.
Yeah.
You watched cartoon for the first time?
For the first time, yeah.
Are you serious? Yeah. How good is it?
It's really good.
It's fucking sick, isn't it?
It's really, really good. Spun me how good. And
they took their time.
Yeah, yeah.
They took their time of it as well. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like the reason why people hated the first film, the film that came out like 8 years ago or whatever it was.
We definitely tell.
Because they tried to put three seasons in one film, and it was like, bruv, you're missing all of this juice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was really good, man. Three seasons. Yeah, it's like literally spun like how creative and the lore that they built up without actually spending too much time on it, but making it very apparent what it actually meant. And then obviously the sequel to that was The Legend of Korra, which is nowhere near as good, but it does expand on the lore quite a bit. But yeah, like Avatar is like it's a great show.
I do wish we got like two more seasons though. I think
I was good with the three, but the reason is because what more, like I would like to have
to stretch the last I would have stretched, even though I like the pacing of it, I would have stretched for last season a little bit more.
I would like to have a season or a film when the Team Avatar are a bit grown up. Like, give me a film, give me a season, because obviously we see the statues, we see what they've done in the past on the Legend, when I watched Legend of Korra.
But we never see him be the Avatar.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So that's correct. What I would like to see, like another season them growing up a little bit, or another season when... have you watched Legend of Korra?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see like the flashbacks that Korra has.
Yeah.
In terms, so I would like to see like some of what Avatar does as an adult, rather than just seeing what he done in the last.
And because like you said, for every season and every adaptation, all they're talking about is how the Avatar is the balance, how the Avatar is essentially like the governor, right? He's the law abider, blah, blah, blah. We don't actually get to see that ever.
We do. Yeah.
No, as in from Aang. In particular. No. We get to see him do like examples of it, okay? But we don't get to see him do it in after everything is now in balance.
Yeah, okay.
We see him do it when everything is out of balance, but he's still learning.
You know
what I mean? Whereas, like, I want to see him be Iron Man, be Superman, be Batman, right? In Gotham, New York, wherever it is, and then govern, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, he's learning along the way, getting a lot of help as well, okay? And he's not... he doesn't feel in charge just yet. He's got this automatic respect because he's the Avatar, but he doesn't have this automatic respect of like he's the president, you know, or he's the king. Whereas I feel like that's what he should be like almost like a spiritual thingy leader. Like if if the Pope was doing like karate kicks.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what hopefully we get a season or a film based on that. I think we will.
So you watched the live action?
I haven't watched live action. I watched like 20 minutes of the first episode of live action. It looks good.
Yeah, like visually.
Yeah.
And the way that they do the bending.
Yeah, the way they do bending is insane. I've only seen the fire and the earth bending. It looks flipping crazy.
Bro, it was so sick. The air bending is the weakest.
But the earth bending that I saw.
The earth bending is the best. Cold. Out of all four, the earth bending is the best. The way.
I think you would like Avatar.
Oh, it's cold.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's cold. But I did finish
Why would I like it?
I think you appreciate the themes.
Also, the story is cool, man. Like, and like when we dig deeper, yeah, it's actually a story about thingy, trauma. There's so much death in it. When you actually look back, and in the live action, this is what I liked about it. They made it a bit more adult. In live action,
yeah, because the manga kills mum and
he rat, kills him immediately, fam. Yeah. And then there was a lot more death actually throughout the season, they did that to show the impact of the Fire Nation taking over, right? Because I think maybe that's one thing that was missing in the animated. Was just actually, like the gruesomeness of it, you know, of like, wait a minute, these people are actually going through war for the past 100 years.
Yeah.
Okay, there is a lot of oppression and, you know what I'm saying, and that kind of stuff. So yeah, like they did that well in the live action. They showed this like trauma and this like this horrible like lifestyle that a lot of them were living and stuff. So yeah, I definitely recommend it. And if you want, bro, watch for live action and then watch the animated series. It might be like an easier process for you. It's just the same story, but obviously I think the live action is just a bit more quicker. Fair. A little bit more quicker. It's not bare quicker, but like, yeah, a little more quicker.
Fair enough. Hush, you've been watching Shogun, right?
Yeah.
A very interesting series. I think a lot of the reviews for the series prior to it coming out, we saw the sort of Game of Thrones comparisons. People saying it's the closest thing to Thrones since Thrones, which is kind of funny because we
had... Interesting.
That's a lot of the critics were saying that, bro. Yeah.
We've seen that quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I never really thought that about the series, but now that you've said it, I can see it.
It's a very interesting series set in the year 1600. Lord Yoshitaro Gana is fighting for his life against the enemies on the Council of Regents.
Have you seen it?
No, not yet.
All right, I haven't seen the last episode because I'm watching it with
episode
someone.
Five?
Episode 6.
Who are you watching it with?
So then, carry on.
Lord Yoshitaro Gana is fighting for his life, and it's been a very interesting... It was very interesting for me. Once I had to... What I had to do was, I watched the first episode, and I realised I weren't paying attention. I realised I was on my phone and watching it.
And you have to watch it because it's all subtitles.
Like 80% of it is subtitles, so I missed so much of the dialogue. So once I locked in, I was locked in for real.
Bro, you're absolutely right, you know, I
can't watch this series with, like...
You put your phone down.
Yeah, it's a phone down situation. It's a really focus on because the first two episodes set a lot of the story. It's a lot of dialogue. My goodness. Mariko.
Yeah, Mariko.
Mariko.
Wavy.
Mariko's
wavy.
Just wavy?
Bro, do you know she's in Monarch, which is obviously a film.
Yeah.
A series that I watched recently. But, like, in Monarch, no offence, you look kind of dusty. You know what I mean? Okay. Look like a normal babe, but fam. In this one?
In Shogun.
In the element.
In Shogun?
She looks crazy.
She looks crazy. And maybe it's her soft-spokenness of it, you know? But like, I feel like she's flirting me on camera. You know what I mean? Like me. Like nobody else. Like
you specifically.
Specifically, she's like, at times, I can hear like, this. But, you know, I'll find the one there.
What you talking with?
Huh?
Is she the person?
So then, you were saying that she's good?
Yeah, she's a very... I'm really enjoying her character, Mariko. But I think the series has been good because it's the first two episodes give you a lot of context to the world that these characters are living in, and the situation that's occurring. You have to really pay attention. The dialogue is very, very detailed, and so you have to focus, which I've actually enjoyed about the series. It's very intentional in terms of the dialogue, the storytelling, the world building of Japan, and sort of the
Of the world as well, because slowly, I saw some of the comments saying that the most beautiful thing about the series is that you almost start this series in like a circle, and then the world just gets like wider and wider because they're painting what's in their minds, right?
Elaborate.
So for example, we know that there's bad countries, blah blah blah. The point of the series, or a lot of the point of the series, okay, is that the Japanese don't know that there's other countries in the whole world, because the Portuguese have come to them and said it's just us. It's literally us and you, man. Right?
Japan, like, they quartered off the country and people weren't allowed to leave.
Exactly. And because they were on the other side of the planet. So, at the time I was reading, at the time, Japan was the only Asian sovereign. I think that's why, right? So then, but when you get in the boats and you travel, blah, 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 they had fleets for war. They didn't have fleets for travel, and they had fleets for trading, but the trading was done by the Portuguese. You get me? So the Portuguese would say, don't worry, I'll do it. And then they would go for like 2 weeks and then come back and then bring everything.
The colonizers.
Yeah, it's but they colonized without war, which is the most impressive thing. You understand? They colonized through the church. So like they came in and showed them like a religion, obviously Christianity, blah blah blah. But actually the religion was just put in place to govern them. You know? And then obviously the point of the series is that there's an Englishman from London who gets on a thingy, a sailboat, and gets through the Portuguese, and then to Japan, and he's kind of like blowing up the operation, telling them, yo, there's Mexico, there's London, there's France, there's Spain, blah, blah, blah. And then they're all going, I don't know.
Man like John Blackthorne.
Yeah, he's cold. He's cold.
You enjoyed his character, yeah?
I love this character. At first, he was very annoying.
Still is a bit, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still don't know about him.
He's very much arrogant to his point, yeah. And then he kind of loses his.
I wouldn't say arrogant. I'd say, and there is a crossover. I'd say he's more obtuse, like,
okay,
and very like, he only understands. But although he started to like develop some of the customs, right? He's very obtuse.
But that's what I'm saying, guys. He does it for a second. So like, he's angry, right? And he's like, I want this. I want this. Da, da, da. And then for the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, like I said, he's. To their customs, right, to their traditions, and it's like, I know you're playing a game.
Excuse me.
But you're not playing it as well as the Portuguese are. You understand? Like, right. they played it so well, they've manipulated the whole people, you know? Whereas, like, he's trying to play it, but at hyperspeed.
But he has won the sort of attention of Lord Tarragona, which has been interesting to observe, right, over the time. He's developed that relationship with him. Saved his life twice already. I haven't spoiled it, because you've seen episode 5,
when the earthquake,
but yeah, Hiroyuki Sanada, unbelievable, bro. Such a good actor.
Yeah, he's always been dope, though.
Dope,
Coldest. He's always been dope. The guy from John Wick, you know, the John Wick 4 when he was.
I've only watched the first John Wick.
You've seen John Wick 4?
No, I haven't. I've only watched the first John Wick. We've had this conversation before, and you lot. Wait, but we. I didn't go with you guys.
No, but we spoke about the scene where it was
you
the overhead
guys
scene.
Talking about it.
You've got to watch John Wick 4.
I know.
You've got to watch all of John Wicks. You just watched one.
No, but 4 is like.
Yeah, I will, because I liked the first one. I remember, because I watched the first one because we had the. It wasn't Junkie, but we had.
The screener
for John Wick 4. So I was going to watch all of them before it.
I mean, you didn't watch it before.
I think
didn't
I
come.
Got sick.
Yeah.
So I watched the first one and just didn't have time to watch the rest. But I'll eventually watch it.
Done, yeah.
But I know my guy's in Avengers as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait.
Hiroyuki Sanada.
He's in Endgame. I think he fights Ronan.
He is.
Is it?
Yeah, he's in Endgame.
Say no more.
He's in Japan. When
when Ronan goes to the... Yeah, yeah.
He comes Ronan and goes to Japan.
He's in that scene.
Yeah.
They wasted him, man. Damn.
I wouldn't say wasted, but they could have utilised him more, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, Shogun's definitely a very good series. The action scenes, when we do get this, the series doesn't rush to give us the high-octane scenes, but when we get them, so I think episode three, yeah?
Yeah.
In the forest.
Oh, yeah.
And the use of...
When they were trying to run away.
Quality, man. Such a good series, though.
Yeah.
I'd definitely recommend.
I do wish that Black Thorn could fight more, though.
And maybe utilise some of his expertise more, but they have done so in bits and pieces.
The moment they gave him back his guns, he turned to a colonizer immediately.
Did him and Mariko, or was it someone else?
No, it was definitely them. They,
you think it was her?
Bro, they were dagging it up, fam.
She's brazy, man.
She's brazy. Yeah, man. Even the next day, she's oh, yeah, crazy.
Shout out to Anna Sawai. Cold. Yeah. Really, really enjoying Shogun so far. It's only going to be one season. Yeah, it's only going to be what's based
I'm
on.
I'm not mad at it.
Based on the book.
I'm not mad.
But right now, I would easily say that from what I've seen, they're 6 for 6 in terms of episodes. There's not been a bad episode.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like, you would love it, Manny.
Yeah, I know.
You would absolutely love it. But yeah, it's really good, man. And I'm so glad that I took time out. But like, it's like you said, phones down, guys, please.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Concentrate. Definitely. It's dope. The politics is nuts.
The politics is probably the best part of the series, man.
The best part of the series. The first two episodes, I had to really listen. Because when they were doing the whole like things in like court and stuff and that. And because that sets the precedent of the whole 6 episodes.
Gives
right?
you the context.
100%. Yeah. So you have to really listen to like that bit in particular. Also because they don't make it clear where they are at the time. So it took me to like episode 2 to realise that he's still in Osaka and the lady of, I forgot her name, but she, Oshiba or something like that, she was being held in his town of Endo, right? And so it's like, well, we didn't ever see that town for at that point. So I was very confused for a second.
You have to focus.
Yeah.
You have to focus.
But
Hush, you watched Godzilla.
Yes.
Versus King Kong.
No. And Kong.
Versus and Kong. Well, I had it booked for Friday. Yeah, I actually don't want to watch this film.
No waste, man, bro.
I actually don't want to watch this film. Did it go?
Well, look, I you know I'm a massive fan of the franchise. I think it's one of the most underrated franchises.
Why do you think it's underrated?
I think because people see like... I think back in the day, like 2008, 2012, 2013, maybe even 2005, 2012, 2013, people loved like disaster films. They loved like these massively CGI type films. 2012, Avatar. I'm trying to think of like films that like.
I wouldn't class Avatar as a disaster film. Would you?
Yeah, it is. It's literally, about taking over a planet.
Sure, but.
I mean, I think it means more the element of...
The element of, like big explosions, and everyone's just like, da-da-da-da, and you know what I mean? Okay, and, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, no! And shit like that. Like, all those films, like, just insane. And I think people have got over that now, you know, because there has to be, like, a better story told for the reason as to why a lot of these happened. Because back then, okay, you didn't have to tell much of a story, bro. Just had to be, like 60% of the film is just scenery. Just chaos and everything, bro. And I think what I love about this franchise is that they really focused on the plot, on the dialogue, on the history of, like, certain things. Wait. This film... Through the out of window.
Okay.
I think that this film was the worst out of the series.
Oh, I'm glad you watched it.
But then it wasn't bad.
But it's the highest, it's one of the higher rated ones, no? In terms of like
this film, critics. I'm the critic.
This film,
yeah. This film, it's definitely like, if I'm to rank it out of Godzilla, Skull Island,
it's got like 50
Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and Godzilla versus Kong. That's 4 films. And then you got this one, which is Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire. This one goes...
They might as well not have mentioned Godzilla this in one. The title.
Yeah, yeah. This one goes last.
Interesting.
For sure. But the other ones have a human storyline. They have like a...
The human stories are kind of whack, man.
No.
As in their dialogue. Come on, bro.
The first Godzilla film, yeah.
I'm listening.
When it was in San Francisco. Okay, and they had that scene in the trailer where they went down with the red flares. Do you remember that?
I remember.
No. It's played by the guys from Kick-Ass.
Okay.
You know,
I swear.
The hench guy. What's his name? Oh, he's hench now. He's playing the guy from Marvel now in Fox. The Manhunter. Craven the Manhunter. That's the one.
Oh, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, you've been Craven the Hunter. Yeah.
So he is the main human, I guess, in Godzilla. And bro, like, it is so sick because they have the story of like Godzilla being like this big terrorist, blah, 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 blah. And when you have like the Japanese culture around it heavy in that film about what he means to that culture, the symbolism, blah, blah, blah. Amazing. The research teams are probably the best part about that film. And then, so then that's the human aspect of it. And then you also got this like army aspect of like what he's doing.
The series is the highest rated out of them, right?
Series Cold. Yeah.
I've heard good things about it.
Series Cold because it's barely monsters. It's barely monsters. It's like maybe like one every two episodes. You'll see like a thing. But like it's barely monsters. But yeah, Aaron Taylor Johnson, you said, yeah? He plays this like soldier that has to get the nuclear bomb that is designed to kill the thing that Godzilla is fighting to them, and then but they took it as like radiation because at the time they didn't know that they eat radiation. So he's like, oh shit! So then they have to go and get the bomb and take it away from the city so it doesn't blow up the whole city. You understand? It's sick because you're fighting the humans fighting these monsters. They have to be sneaky. They have to be this. They have to be that. Like they can't actually beat. They can't actually beef them. That story was really nice. And then this film just didn't have that. Like
what did the film?
And I was so upsetting. Yeah, they got rid of half the cast. Like what's the point of giving me four films here of Bear Man, Bear Monarch, Bear This, Bear That? And then you even give me a series 2 months ago that had the whole Monarch gang. And then you give me one girl in this Monarch thing, yeah? Which, by the way, she was making outrageous choices. Like, she took a stranger of her to Hollow Earth. She took her ex, who's a vet. And then, no offence, but the one army guy she took was, like, 5'1". It's like, bruv, like, you went to die. And your daughter. And took her 12-year-old daughter. Bro, allow it, man. It was so stupid. Well, after five films, fighting all these monsters, okay, everyone dying, literally millions of people dying, you then make these dumbass choices. Mm. It makes no sense. And then even when Godzilla was like going through like the towns and stuff, yeah, and just bro, there were scenes, it was hilarious, bro, yeah, where like...
They took the piss in Brazil.
Bro, he just stepped on Bear Man for no reason. And for five films, they're pitching him as this like his PR was, yo, he's like one of us.
He's protecting us.
Yeah, that's his PR, yeah? Well, the whole film, man, just rushed up on people's yards, fam. You know what I mean? Bro, there was like three, he was in the water, man swimming, yeah? He could easily just dive. Instead of diving, he just hits like four bridges. Pat, 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 bear cars going, everyone dying, da-da-da-da. But didn't even address it. They said, yeah.
King Kong with Godzilla.
Godzilla, but
Kong caused damage as well. But
Kong was like cautious. There was even a scene where Kong
didn't want to fight, really and truly.
Yeah, but Kong's
about it.
But he's more human, right? Because obviously he's but like Kong, like he landed on a thingy building, and then turned around. Right, which was the only real scene about the whole thing, by the way. He turned around and there's bare utes like, oh my God, we're just like, you know, running around because they're in an office building and you just hit the 16th floor, right? He then was like, oh shit. And when Godzilla came to hit him, he moved him away from the building. Yeah. Probably didn't help either, okay? Because probably hit some different building. Yeah. But that was the conscious part about it, right? But Godzilla was like, his thing is like, I'll protect you, but I'll mash up everything first.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it just made no sense.
Anything
man.
You like about the film?
One other thing that I hate about the film, okay? The 12-year-old thing, that she's like the chosen one, they didn't explain it. They didn't actually explain it. Why?
Why?
They said, oh, the girl from Skull Island. But she's the last living person from her tribe from Skull Island, right? So are you telling me that in Skull Island, if anyone else survived except from her, would they have been the chosen one? Or was it specifically her?
Did they all have connections to Kong?
Bro, I don't know! We
had this special connection with Kong, right?
The people did, though. The people did. And he felt... The storyline is that he protected her because she was the last one. Right? So they could have built that connection.
Right.
You know? But again, there's no explanation. They got rid of half the human cast. I'm telling you guys, yeah, the cast like previously was so good, so funny, so like knowledgeable and that kind of stuff. In this one, they just brought the one. And the crazy thing is, the one girl that they
were just there for exposition.
Yeah, yeah. The one girl they brought back actually, obviously the same director. She was a side character in the last film. She was very much a side character. So, like, to now make her the main, it's calm, but just bring other man in. It was a very small cast. They spent a lot of budget on the CGI and that kind of stuff. I wish we got to see a war. We didn't get to see a war. If you're going to go away from Earth and go to this, like, hollow Earth thing and not try and kill Bear Man, blah, 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 and you tease us in the trailer with, like, this ape and Kong finds a family, blah, 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 show us a war.
He did,
like,
find his baby Kong, though.
Yeah, that was I love that.
That was
probably okay. That was probably the best part.
Yeah, easily.
About the film, it was like it was.
At first, it was a snake, but yeah.
Yeah. He was fully a snake. But it was dope to see Kong connect in that sense. Godzilla was useless in the whole film. He was just angry the whole time, and we never actually got to tell why he was angry at all. Because they were like, oh, the beacon is sent down below, blah, blah, blah. Okay, why? Oh, because the apes are trying to escape to Earth. Yeah, but only because Kong just found them. But how did Godzilla know that he was going to find them?
Yeah, I'm never watching this film.
It made no sense, bro. The film made no sense. And that's coming from me, by the way, who's biased.
Do you know what I mean? The film is on pace domestically to make 75 to 80 million, making it the second biggest opening for the Monsterverse next to 2014's Godzilla, 93 million. On pace for the second best opening of 2024.
It's going to make peace, bro.
On pace for the fifth biggest Easter weekend release. So Warner Bros. Are eating good with Doom Part 2 and Godzilla and Kong.
And Wonka.
Well, on last year, yeah.
Wonka. December, yeah. Q4. Look. It's one of the films. The Fast and Furious films, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's just one of the films where it doesn't actually matter what the dialogue is. As long as it looks mad and as long as it's, like, spectacular and it actually, because it looks crazy, it's suitable for kids and it's suitable for us, man, as well, because it's, like, a deeper story, blah, blah, blah. But that's always going to be the case, isn't it? Like, it's just...
Do you think comparisons to Godzilla Minus One are fair?
No. No, not at all. If you guys know the history of, like, the Godzilla films and the books and the comics and that kind of stuff, okay, like, then you wouldn't compare it at all. Hollywood have sensationalized it completely. Do you know what I'm saying?
I find it so cheeky that Hollywood makes Godzilla films.
But I mean, do you know what they done as well though? Yeah, you know, like, all of the other, you see all of the other monsters that he beefs. Yeah. So, like, in the third one, he beefs like nine monsters. He's like Bear Man. They're all, each of those monsters have their own comic books or their own books against Godzilla. So they are trying to stick to the original names and the original laws and blah, 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 and that kind of stuff. And don't forget, the creator of Godzilla gave them the rights to do this, right? And he's a producer in, I think, in like three of the films, you know? So, like, he is helping out, but Minus One was like, we're stripping it all the way back. This is going to be from the book, literally pick it up, screen, safe. And it was dope because it was very engrossed in like Japanese culture and like what it, like the myths and the legends and stuff. Whereas this now is like a franchise. But yeah, it was okay. I give it like a 5.6.
Mm. Yeah, cool.
5.6. How about you?
Yeah, 5 out of 10. Yeah, fine. Action was cool.
Action was cool.
Yeah,
I like that Kong had like a toothache and had
they humanized
like,
him a bit.
Yeah, and I like that at the start they made him seem kind of weak, where he was like he was getting chased by those mad butters looking dogs, but then he made hot Hollow Earth like his trap because there was bear traps around and stuff. And I was like, right, this guy's kind of smart still.
Kong was a good part of the film.
He was a good part. He was probably he was the best monster for sure.
Easy,
for sure.
Shout out Kong.
Shout out to Kong. It makes me very excited for Planet of the Apes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Bro, the trailer looks crazy.
I feel like Planet of the Apes always had good films. Even the original, I really fuck with.
But the original is... wait, are you talking about the ones in the 90s, yeah?
It was like 1950 or something. Where was
yeah,
that?
Bro, the originals are crazy. Yeah,
really good.
Like, they're so good. And, bro, do you know why? The way that it's written is so fucking sick. They've basically just flipped the script. They've made what you would write for like a human apocalypse story into an ape apocalypse story. So they haven't tried to change it to like an animal. They were like, yo, we're just going to flip it. and just make it happen.
And I'm fine if you want to change the, because essentially they change the genre of what Planet of the Apes is, and it's fine because you're telling a completely different story, which I do like.
But they can get away with telling the same Hollywood story, like a Breaking Bad story, Lost, blah blah blah. They can tell those stories in these films because they're apes, and it won't look the same. It won't feel the same because they will have like these little like intricacies and that kind of stuff. But it's the same stories, though. You know what I mean? But I'm with it.
Yeah.
Like I'm so with it, and I love that they are continuing with the book and the 50s ones where it's like because in back in the day there was never like a 2-year skip or 3-year skip, but it was 10 to 100 years.
Yeah.
Like every single film had a massive gap because apes live a lot longer, so you can have that gap.
Mm.
You know, it was fucking sick. And then eventually we are going to get one of them in Mars.
Fair.
Because obviously that's how it ends, right? It ends that the Earth is like degraded and infected and blah, blah, blah. And then they end up going to a different planet and then colonizing it. And then the Earth regrows, right? And then humans become the main civilization. But humans have never seen apes before.
Yeah.
And then humans go to Mars and then see apes and go, oh my God. And then they're like, who are these, man? And then, yeah, safe. So
that sounds like Terraform Mars.
Yes,
it's a manga.
Speaking of monkeys.
Fair.
Good transition.
Yeah, that could have gone the wrong way. Crazy. As a segue, right?
Speaking of monkeys, Manny, how are you?
It's a fucking good segue, that. Speaking of monkeys, Monkey Man, Dev Patel's new film. It's not actually out yet. Luckily, I've got Cineworld card. Shout out to Cineworld. If you want to sponsor the pod, feel free. You would love that.
You know about Cineworld that owned my picture house?
Interesting.
Didn't know that.
I do now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You think about that.
Yeah,
Dev Patel's Monkey Man is out next week, I believe.
Yeah.
Cineworld have granted their Black Card members exclusive access to films a few days early.
How much do you pay?
$15-$14 a month.
All right, cool.
I had to up mine because I was group three or whatever. But obviously, some of the films that I really want to watch didn't come out in my local cinema. They'll come out in like North Greenwich.
Mm.
So then I had to pay like an extra £2
every time
a month. No, I would have to pay like £6 each time I wanted to go if I use my normal card.
Yeah.
So then I upgraded one, so now I pay like an extra £2-3 a month just so I can use
my cinema card. Is an Odeon Lux right now.
Boom, man, get Cineworld, man. So stop wasting your time.
But the thing is, it's right there.
I hear it.
Fair.
And it's a Lux. And the screen's massive.
The Odeon is actually a better cinema. Like
Odeon's sexy.
Better quality cinemas. Like the one in North Greenwich, better quality than the Cineworld in the O2. But
and like I get access to all of the Lux cinemas.
Nice.
And the normal cinemas, obviously. But after you have the access, you don't go to a normal cinema no more. In the Lux ones, they have the iSense screens, which is, I guess, the equivalent to Vue's Extreme, Cineworld's, I forgot what Cineworld was called. They're big screens.
Yeah, IMAX.
But yeah.
Yeah, right, cool. But shout out to Dev Patel, man. The film is fucking good.
Really good.
Film is fucking good. Firstly, I will say,
interesting,
there are some people who are doing this thing like it's the Indian John Wick, which I think is unfair on both. Well, the John Wick franchise and Dev Patel.
Camera died.
When did it die?
No, probably like 2 minutes ago. That's fine, though.
I mean, we can, yeah, go on.
Carry on.
Yeah, I think it's unfair on both the franchise of John Wick, which is great for its own unique sort of perspective on action, and then obviously Dev Patel's film, which has its own sort of nuances.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to compare the two. I get the comparisons because Dev Patel's Monkey Man definitely takes inspiration from John Wick, the universe, but it's definitely got its own nuances and its own story.
He has come out and said that he takes more inspiration through like Korean films, and he says that John Wick takes inspiration from those type of films as well.
So you mentioned Bruce Lee films, Korean films, and Bollywood tales, and also Bollywood films and tales from his grandfather, which is tales that were told him when he was a child.
Yeah.
And he's been working on this film for 10 years, which is really, really dope. He had so many difficulties. I think he broke his camera. He lost his cinematographer during the film as well. Had to change locations. So much went on broke
a bone.
Broke his hand. So a lot went on with making this film happen. Had to use his iPhone at times to shoot certain shots, which you could actually see in the film. But I think those kind of worked in the film's favour. But Manny, what do you think about
it? I really liked the film. And just on the perspective we're talking about, how the story is, like, in face value, you feel like this is more like a revenge story. And then a little bit dig a bit deeper, it's probably like feel like more it's like a love letter to a child and his mum. But what I took most about it is just like a story about his community and the social issues that happen within India and the type of people that we come across throughout the film. Or even like this, like we get constant scenes of him like running around his city, and we just get to meet all these random people within that city that he lives in. And I really appreciated what he was trying to give through this film outside of just the action stuff.
Yeah. Well, All good. Welcome back. I think the film did a very good job at displaying and Patel, through his acting and the story, portrayed the clear anguish and turmoil that he was in constantly. And the film never really lets you forget that, but it's also him reflecting on the memories of his childhood with his mother and the love and adoration that he had for his mother. But the film also does deliver in terms of the action. If you are a lover of action sequences and these high octane scenes,
I can't wait to watch it.
The film defo delivers in that regard. Especially the sort of first act and the final act of the film.
Yeah.
It delivers in that regard massively. Very, very fast, gritty. There were some point of view perspective shots which were like really immersive. It gave you that perspective of sort of his stance on this fight scene and sort of the damage he was taking.
Equalizer?
I'd say similar, yeah. And it gave you the damage that he was inflicting on the other people he was fighting with as well. It's definitely fantastical in terms of the action sequences, but that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. Sometimes it did feel a bit cartoonish.
Yeah, and I was like...
It's called Monkey Man, bro.
I mean, no.
Run it.
Either way, yeah, run it. I don't care. I was there for it. That's what I wanted to see. I really appreciated his sort of the delving into the sort of nuances and the mythology of India, of Hinduism, the politics within India itself, in terms of different religions, and the disparity between the rich and the poor, which I think is the main focus of the film. The action's superb.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. But I think the main focus is, again, the disparity between the rich and the poor, and how the rich can take advantage. It's definitely has elements of a revenge film, because naturally something happened to him during his childhood which makes him want to exact revenge. And he definitely shines in that regard in terms of the action, but it's also a very nuanced story. I do think the middle, there was a part of the middle of the film where I feel like there was a bit of a lull. I wasn't as engaged.
I agree. I don't think it needed to be as long.
Agreed. And it was kind of his recovery period. Again, I didn't... Do you know what I'm talking about? When he was recovering.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't mind it. I just felt that... I did feel the lull during that part.
go on.
But it was somewhat necessary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I get why we had that. It was just to make the... I guess give us more of a perspective of... This film is just not just about him and his revenge. It's about this whole community and in terms of the disparity between the rich and the poor and obviously give more understanding of social commentary that we see in the background, like through the radio, through the TV, that I really did appreciate, because there was a scene where it was really in the background, and I think they play it towards the end of our conversation, where they were talking about a community of trans people being attacked. But you can easily just ignore that and pay no mind. But that kind of does come back into the story when he's in the recovery because of the people that ostracize. And obviously you have quite a few trans people within that community, and also come back kind of towards the end of the film. So I did appreciate that social commentary and stuff and the importance of it.
Nice.
Good film, bro.
Have you guys seen Extraction?
No. Ooh, Extraction.
Watch that on Netflix with Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously that's based in...
Yeah, quality.
It's a great film. And like that shows the whole rich versus poor thing in India and the politics behind
it. The first one,
it.
Right? That's the first one.
The first one is a lot better than the second one.
Depends though. Depends what you're looking for from the film.
I like the second one.
For the second one, had better action.
Ooh. I think the first one, the story was told so well because it was bare, like just full circle,
right.
And it was like I like intro stories into a world, but the intro is like fast paced. Like I don't want this whole like slow build up. Like yo, like show me the world, and then just go crack on, you know. And that's what it done. But yeah, like I'm assuming it's going to be something like that, but more of the other side of the story. So not the American side of the story. It will be this like actual, I've been in this system for a long time and I'm now going to eradicate it or try and do whatever. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
You can definitely see the that it was a passion project of his.
Nice. Love those, by the way.
Yeah, no, you can tell. And I think when I mentioned the fact that some of the film was shot on the iPhone, although I could tell it worked, especially for like the action scenes, again, those fight scenes where it became a bit distorted, a bit jarring, a bit blurry, a bit all over the place. It kind of worked for those scenes because fighting isn't a clean cut situation. You're going to get a punch to the head. You're going to get a punch to the stomach, kicked here, thrown here. So I think it worked for them.
I really liked how clumsy the fighting was at times. Mm. It wasn't like, ha 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 ha. Like it was like you can tell like he was getting fucked up like throughout the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very gruesome. That's something that I will let people know that some people might be a bit squeamish. It is quite gruesome film.
Yeah, that Indian John decent as well, blood.
Whoa, what's her name? Yeah. I said what's her name as if I'm gonna fish out her.
Just seeing the palette expand slightly, yeah. She's super clean, man.
Shout out to her.
The acting's really good as well.
Yeah.
The cast all around are really, really good, you know.
Do you know
the Indian boss lady, forgot her name.
She was a good actor. Even the little guy, he was funny.
Oh, the youth with the money and that.
No, not the youth.
Oh
yeah, the couple with one.
Yeah. Good film, man.
Yeah, good film. It's directed really well as well. That's something that probably impressed me the most.
Said he wants to make a rom-com next.
Yeah, I can see that. I did a rom-com too, by the way.
You see, talking about the clumsy fighting.
Yeah.
Isn't that like what was best about people like Jackie Chan? Well, that was the difference between him and a Bruce Lee film. So like a Bruce Lee film was like clean cut fighting every single time. Whereas like Jackie Chan was like falling over like crates and then, you know what I'm saying? Like doing like a kick that will flip a table, whatever. He catch up, like, oh crap, and then do this.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was clumsy but clean at the same time.
What was the difference is with the Jackie Chan stuff, it was more of a comedic clumsy.
Correct. Yeah.
With
this is super gritty.
Dev just felt like this is how a fight would actually happen. Like you'll punch somebody, you slip, you will try to do something that you think might work out, but actually doesn't, and it puts you in an awkward situation, and now you have to. It's constantly adapting. That's what I felt like. He was constantly adapting as he was fighting, but in a way that I felt like, yeah, this is actually what would happen in a fight. Yeah, man, really, really good. Definitely, some stuff was a bit fantastical. I get it. Sometimes it just felt a bit too. I don't mind. It's not necessarily a critique. Here's a critique, but not a big one. And you feel a bit cartoonish. Some of the decisions that the villains made, just like, why would you do that?
Mm.
Like, there was a scene where there's bare people about to fight him. It's like, where's your guns?
And they all stand around him.
Yeah, yeah. So like, where's your guns? Just gone. That's
interesting.
Plot armor thing. Oh, we good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Is there anything else you want to touch on? I've got like one more film maybe I got that I watched recently. Maybe two even, but yeah. Anything else that you've watched recently?
I've actually watched quite a few things.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, go on, you go.
Yeah, I watched Prisoners, which is an old film, 2013 film, I believe.
Watched it last night.
Oh, it's a good film.
Yeah, it's decent, man. It's very, very good. Danny Villeneuve. Watched it maybe 2 weeks ago, I think.
It's a good film.
Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal is very good. Hugh Jackman obviously steals the show.
Yo, Hugh Jackman is so deep in that film.
Yeah.
I almost felt like his claws coming up. I swear that he was so angry for him.
It was also in pain and turmoil. So it's a combination of like that anger, which you saw in the scenes where he was with Paul Dano's character.
Paul Dano.
Okay, one thing about Paul Dano, yeah. As weird as it sounds, I don't think I ever want to see. Okay, maybe not ever, but I don't think I care to see him in a film that he leads. Like he just screams like the perfect supporting actor.
Mm. But would you have said that about the guy from American Fiction? What's his
Jeffrey
name?
Wright.
Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wright, because he has such strong supporting roles.
I don't think I would have said the same thing.
What? Hunger Games, Batman.
I'm not saying that his supporting roles aren't great. Yeah. Like, duh, but like, and I'm not saying like more.
I couldn't have imagined him in a. I'm trying to think of films. Nah.
This is definitely high poor belief coming from me.
Of like, course, yeah.
Obviously, you will deserve a leading role.
Of course, yeah.
But I don't care. Give me supporting roles because you're so great.
Really good, man.
Yeah.
The film follows sort of the harrowing abduction of two young girls. And we get to see the sort of turmoil and the yang and the pain of Hugh Jackman's character, who's brilliant. Jake Gyllenhaal is superb. And
yep.
I would say, hard for me to say he's a supporting actor, because I also think he was a joint lead in the film.
Yeah.
But if I had to lean, I'd probably say, yeah, he was a great supporting. I'd just say he was great in the film, yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal. Very, very good performance. It does have the sort of typical abduction story, but I think what takes this film outside of that is just the quality of the acting.
Yeah.
I would say, I think the film underutilized Viola Davis, just because I know what she's capable of in those type of scenes where your daughter's been abducted. And we've seen her act. Yeah. Where,
nah,
you know, when the pain and the anger.
But, yeah, I think she'd take over though.
Yeah, she might
still because, bro, it's like her and Angela Bassett do that really well. That whole pain and grief thing, and like the speeches, the monologues, and blah blah blah. You just get like captivated, man. I just don't think it was about them.
Yeah, and the film did choose to focus mainly on the husband's sort of difficulty in the abduction of their daughters, and less so on the wives.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a very good film, man. The acting all around is quality. Yeah. There's not. It's just a good film. It's just a good film. Yeah.
It's a good watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Any other thoughts on Prisoners?
Nah.
I think it's just a good film, man.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Solid film. You should definitely watch, people, for sure.
Yeah. I have nothing more to add.
Still on Netflix, so if you need a new watch, I would recommend.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
I'm a bum. I'm a bum.
Did you stream it?
Yeah.
Bro,
what series?
Don't you check everything first and then stream?
I felt like I did, because I was trying to find like
Sicario.
That's on iPlayer, right?
Yeah, I think
so. I found that on iPlayer. I tried to find Prisoners. I'm pretty sure. Do you know what? I probably just didn't look well enough, innit? I'm a bum, bro. Yeah,
it's on Netflix, dog. Good film, that.
Good film.
I did watch Sicario as well, actually, for the first time again. I know. And
first time again.
As in,
rewatch for the first time.
That's my first watch of Sicario.
Like, oh, mad.
It sounds mad to say. I think people overhyped it, man. Like, from what I've seen of people speaking about Sicario,
definitely did.
Overhyped. I say that to say it's a very good film. I loved Emily Blunt's character in the film. I wish the film had explored her a bit further. I think that was sort of her, from what I remember, her breakthrough in terms of like.
I don't remember.
Stepping into like the next level of sort of adulation and sort of endearment from her peers and from Hollywood as a whole, I guess.
I'm not even gonna lie, I completely forgot she was in it.
Oh no, she's pretty much the main character until
until
Benicio goes crazy in the third act.
Yeah.
Benicio del Toro's character goes crazy. Yeah, it's definitely a very beautifully shot film. From a technical standpoint, the film is superb. I just wish the film sort of had it took a pivot where it was focused on Emily Blunt's, and then it sort of, well, the main point of the film is Benicio Del Toro's character and the pain he's going through and the anguish that he had to deal with, and that he's sort of seeking revenge, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
That third act, the final scene in that film is unbelievable. So, so good. Caught me off guard. But yeah, I just think Sicario's just a tad overrated. People talk about it like it's a 9.5 or a 9. I have it like a 8.5.
Okay.
Technically, dumb in terms of like, the cinematography. I think Roger Deakins did the cinematography for this. He also did it for Prisoners. It's definitely a very beautifully shot film. Captured the sort of landscapes of the US borderland with Mexico. The action scenes are great. The sound design's good. But yeah, it's just a tad. I expected more from what people had led me to believe.
I'm gonna watch it.
But Sicario is good. It's a good film. Definitely worth a watch. Anything else on the docket for you guys?
Yeah, I got a film. It's got Paul Pascal, Cormac Domingo, Matt Damon.
Paul Pascal?
Pedro. Who's Paul
I made him American. Pedro Pascal, Cormac Domingo, Matt Damon.
Sounds like a very obvious film.
Margaret Qualley, who is in Poor Things. She's the second Bella Baxter. Bill Crump? I can't remember his name, but... Yeah, like a star-studded cast, and the film is cheeks.
I'm finished.
The film is so cheeks.
What's the film called?
It's called Drive Away Dolls, I think. Yeah, Drive Away Dolls. Pedro Pascal is literally in one scene. Matt Damon's in two scenes. Cormac Domingo is featured a lot more.
Shout out to Matt Damon, by the way.
Shout out to Matt Damon. What an actor he is. The film is just cheeks, and I get it was meant to be a, I guess, a raunchy lesbian road trip.
This film.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I was never watching this.
Yeah, launch lesbian road trip story.
Yeah, I was never watching this.
When did this come out again?
This year, man.
Like, this
like,
year,
like a week or two ago, like at some point this month, innit?
I saw the trailer for this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great film, especially with the.
Who made you watch it, bro?
The thing that smacks it, I went to watch Monsters. I went to the audience to watch Monsters, and it was still like pretty early. I was like, oh, let me see if there's anything else in cinema, and this was on. So then I went to watch that right away. So I went to watch ones back to back.
That's sick.
Yeah. It was cheeks.
I've done it a few times.
I wish I hadn't.
It's not even that I wish I hadn't. It was just like.
Do you think, especially when you think about the cast as well, it's like you expect more from.
Nah, but the artwork looks cheeks too, though, man.
Yeah, it's not a great film. I wouldn't recommend it.
Damn, no.
Obviously watched The Beautiful Game with Michael Ward and Bill Nye. The film was okay. it's not directed well. It's not edited well. I think that's the biggest jarring thing. The editing was kind of poor. The lighting of the film was actually very mid. The acting was decent. Bill Nye is a great actor. Michael Ward did a good job.
I think the thing to take that I took away from the film, I have some critiques of the film. Some of them you've already mentioned. Like, one thing I hated about the film was the writing for Ward's character, Vinny.
Yes.
It made me sick. He had no... Like, the film didn't offer him any redeemable traits at any time other than with his daughter. And even then, like, the start of the film with his daughter, it was still like, you're a bit of an asshole.
Yeah.
I get you're going through turmoil and pain and your life.
But we didn't explore the turmoil well enough for me to
until the end. And then, we used you as a footballer once upon a time. And it's like, you could have given the backstory a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Then maybe I can give you a bit of a bly while you're an asshole all the time.
and even his redemption arc, like, it just switched way too quickly.
It was too quick.
Yeah, it was like, you watched them on screen.
And everyone was just like, oh, yeah, let's forgive him. It's fine. He's an asshole, but it's fine. Like, come on.
He can play football. He's cool.
No.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Especially when you consider the tone and the message of the film, which I think is the most important aspect of the film, is like to humanize the homeless, right? It's to show that the homeless have backstories. They have had a life prior to being homeless. They are still capable of doing things despite being homeless, which we see in particular characters like the American striker and Vinny to an extent as well. But I just don't think, I love the aspect of the film because it showed that football is about winning. I come from a football background, so like for me, football's about winning. But I also come from the community side of things as well. And my understanding of the impact that football has beyond those people that are just good at football or sports is so much more important in terms of sports being a thing and in the message of the film.
Yeah.
Michael Ward's acting was fine, but the quality, the sort of writing for his character was poor. Very, very poor. Wasn't happy with that. And I was hoping for more for the film because Michael Ward, he's done so many different sort of things in his career so far. Empire of Light, I think The A-List, Top Boy, Bob Marley, One Love. He's taken risks doing different roles, which I think is very, very good for him. I just think the writing for his character, Vinny, in this film.
He has a good role, you know. I'm just deep in it.
It was a bit underwhelming, man. So I was hoping for more from his. But again, I say that to say the main thing about the film is the message.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important part of the film. So in that regard, the film did what it needed to do. It's just the technical aspects it kind of maybe lacked.
Definitely. Yeah, I think my biggest annoyance is definitely the directing.
Fair enough. Anything else? What else I've watched? I watched Severance. Finally,
let's go.
Finally got right to watch Severance. Probably make this the final one unless anyone's got anything to talk about. Watch Severance, very good series. Delves into the concepts of like work-life balance in terms of personal life and work life.
Yeah.
Follows a character called Mark Scout. Works for a company called... Can't remember who he works for. But essentially the company splits his memories and the employee's memories into two.
Okay.
Work life, personal life. Essentially creates two different personalities.
Severance.
Yeah, it's an Apple Plus TV. It's definitely very, very good. I would say it requires some focus.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to understand what the premise of the story is. It's quite a slow burner to an extent. Very well, technically. Oh!
Very well written.
Oh!
Very well written. What's my guy that writes it? Zoolander.
It's got 8.7 on IMDb.
Quality, you know, bro.
Yeah, it's the film that I put number one for best series of the year.
Yeah, it's a very good series. I really enjoyed the sort of exploration of trying to compartmentalize your work life and your personal life. And can you really get joy from life trying to separate the two?
Yeah.
And
Dope cast.
Yeah, very good cast, bro. It's a good series, bro. Definitely worth a watch. Technically, from like the lighting, the cinematography, the set design, so good.
The set design.
The eerie production. Feeling of the office was so good. The production's good.
By the way, John Turturro.
Yeah.
Underrated actor.
Yeah. My guy, he's in Batman as well. Yeah.
He's in Batman. He's in the Transformers films. Cold. He was cold in those films.
So, yeah, man. Severance.
Still, that's what it is. Produced it.
Sorry, yes, he did. And yeah. See, they started filming season two. So,
is it? Yeah. It's getting involved, fam.
I definitely recommend Severance. That's I've tried to round up as much as I could. But, yeah, Severance is good, man. Good watch. Yeah. Good fun series, mees.
Yeah, I have nothing else pressing. Mother Instinct, go watch a decent film.
I'm sad.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, she's quality. She's quality. Yeah. That's the post-credit scene podcast, lads.
That was a good one.
14 HQ original, sharp to the point. 14 HQ original, lovers of film and TV. Check us out on all socials. TikTok, Instagram. The TikTok is booming, so check us out on there. The Instagram's booming. Check us
actually,
out
actually, you should probably plug Alex Ryder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
No, you and Charles do. Oh, yeah. No?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Myself and the supposed member of the podcast, Basola, did a junket with the Alex Ryder cast for season 3. Good interview. So, yeah, check that out. 14 HQ original, lovers of film and TV. Joined by Manny.
Yes, sir.
Or Sam. Mm-hmm. Over and out. You know the vibes.
Enjoy the interview, guys.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene.